There's been a spirit of fear that's been trying to get on somebody or more than one person. I don't know, but the thing is, it's been disguising itself. So you haven't understood that it's been fear. But that's what it is. That's the root of it. It's disguised itself as pressure, as worry, as defeat even. But it's really just a spirit of fear. Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We take authority over that spirit of fear, and I command you off that person or those people right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just that easy. Just that easy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Deliverance. Deliverance now. Manifest you in each mind, in each heart, and all emotions now, in Jesus' name.
A few moments ago, a word went forth and had to do with fear. And I'm just going to read the first verse of Psalm 27. The Lord had, during their worship, the Lord had me turn to this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he impressed upon me to share with you that if you will meditate Psalm 27 and do what it says, you'll conquer fear. You will conquer fear. I don't know who this would apply to, but you have a fear of speaking in front of people. And the Lord says, you're going to have to beat that. Because he wants to use you to speak in front of people. And this fear is holding you back from stepping out and pursuing what he's called you to do. Meditate in Psalm 27. Bury it into your heart. And let the life of that psalm explode on the inside of you and conquer all of that fear. And God will begin moving you forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. At the very last verse of Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Hello, people. Hello, people at home. Amakaleans and all the family that are watching, we just love you guys, and we appreciate it. This is a time for revivalists to come together. This is not an evangelistic meeting. It's not a Mario Morello meeting. I love his meetings. I've been to them. But this is for revivalists. This is for the purpose. And as Alan said this morning, As Alay said this morning, it's all about the harvest. It really is. It's all about the harvest. But us revivalists are coming together for that very, very purpose. Well, praise the Lord, Bronc Flint. Some of you don't know me, and I'm not going to assume. I guess most everybody here does. Some of the people watching may not know me. But I pastor the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida. And Pastor Jim and Kathy come down once a year. We have a good time. And we've been there in August 26 years, so we've been there a good while. And so we've got some wonderful people and wonderful people that are watching. And, you know, this these meetings started out fast, and they're getting faster all the time, and I'm saying in a good way. There was no hors d'oeuvres served. It was just medium rare ribeye from the very beginning. And so Jim came out throwing fastballs, and Gary did too. L.A. did as well. So we're not going to stop that tonight. We're just going to keep going forward. And praise God for that. I just, you know, I could tell you a little bit about myself. You know, you could just write a book. I mean, just write it's just like a movie about my life before Christ. What a sordid life it was. I got saved at 11, filled with the Holy Ghost at 12, and never have backslid to this day. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. That's a movie. Gary said that's a movie. So I hear all these testimonies like, wow, that's real. Well, praise God. But, so you must have been a sissy then. No, I wasn't no sissy. I was raised to be really tough. My granddad and my dad, raised me real tough. And, I was part of a bunch of cowboys. We had a ranch, or we were part of a big ranch. And so, played football in high school, then started powerlifting. And when I was a senior in high school, was going to a small, school where Candy and I started dating at, and a small Christian school, and got into powerlifting, took second place in the state of Florida in powerlifting in that small school. So raised up tough, so you don't have to be, just because you serve the Lord, you don't have to be a sissy. You know, you can be a man's man. And so, but praise God. Hallelujah. But we're here for revival. We're here for the building blocks of revival. And, Jamie, why don't you come and just, for just 5-10 minutes more, let's just worship the Lord just for a few more minutes, because we love doing that. It's just been so precious. And I want you to just lift your hands with me. And let's just begin to worship. We're going to slip into something in just a few moments. We won't be terribly long, but we're going to get this said tonight. So just lead us, Jamie, just a little bit more. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, lead us into a glory that we don't know how to get there. Present tense, we've never seen what we're after. The only reflection that we have is in the Word. We've heard history stories, read books about revivals. But this present generation has never had the visitation that we're seeking for. So show us, Father. As Pastor Jim said, one more piece to the puzzle, one more step. Take us into that place. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get started. And so, you know, I was telling Gary this morning, I just ministered this message last week, and some of you have heard it. And I tried to go other places, but it's on my heart so strong I can't do anything else. It's like, and I listened. He said, I want you to say it again and keep saying it. Get this message out. So if you heard this message, there's no apology for hearing it again. But just believe the Lord to continue to speak. So the message is revival demons, and that sounds pretty strong. And as I said, we're going to look in. I feel like this is kind of an intel message. In other words, God's kind of given us intel behind the natural scenes. And I do believe this, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, His word, will always stand. And it's on the basis of this word we receive revival. But a group of people that have never been in a place that we're going has to have intel from the Holy Spirit. They have to receive wisdom, understanding, direction, and insight by the Holy Spirit into places that they cannot see in the natural, and what the Holy Spirit is seeing as far as the atmosphere that is around them. Gary Carpenter, about 3 years ago, received a vision from the Lord, and he saw a group of people. And I will say this, that no one is disqualified in this. It is for everybody, but it's not for everybody. It's for a group of revivalists. It really is. And I hope anybody that doesn't consider themselves by the end of this service or by the end of this week will consider yourself as a revivalist. But he saw a group of people going through what he saw to start with was a wall of fire. And it was a wall. That wall of fire represented a place of purging. It was a place of, I love that last night, the loppers, you know. So in that fire there was, I'll just say this, he didn't say it then, but there was a lot of lopping going on. And I believe that at least since 2020, you know, there has been a lot of fire, a lot of us. And he said that I saw people going through it, a church going through it, revivalists going through it. Now, I'm paraphrasing, not verbatim from what he said, but he said that he saw these people going through it. And then I remember close to the Family Prayer Center has temporarily had to move out of their facility, but when he was teaching in the pulpit then, he began to say, I'm getting glimpses of a people emerging. It seems like they are coming through. There seems to be daylight on the other side of this wall of fire, which would represent that there was the purging process was, that purging process was complete. What you're going to hear me say tonight, I want to preface by saying, I'm going to say some things about the present tense place of the body of Christ and those that would consider themselves revivalists and those that have been going through this purging process. I am not in any way saying that the purging process is forever done. Paul, he always, you know, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body and I bring it under subjection to myself. So you'll find that throughout your entire life that there is always the disposition of having the place to say the divine no and the divine yes, yes to this and no to that. So we're never at a point where we're not dealing with the flesh, but the Holy Spirit began to speak to me some things over the last couple of weeks. And he began to share some things with me out of my prayer time. And then when I wasn't, you know, when you least expect it, sometimes the Holy Spirit will show up and he begins to talk to you. And I was out in the yard the other day, about 10 days ago, and I was just pruning our hedge. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and now it wasn't exactly like this, but he just began to talk to me, and then I stopped a little bit. I walked in the garage, and I began to listen to exactly what he was saying. And the Lord said, the war has changed from flesh to devils. The war has changed from flesh to devils. And I'm just going to read some things here, and then we'll listen. The revivalist, he began to say this, the revivalists have crossed a line from a warfare of the flesh to a warfare of devils. Now, tomorrow morning, I believe I'll be speaking again, so we'll do the prequel to this. We'll talk about some things out of Ephesians that leads up to why we could be and are qualified, present tense, to be under a warfare predominantly by devils and not the flesh. And again, I'll underscore with asterisks and markers, you're never done with the flesh. You're never done with the flesh. I often say I'll be 30 minutes in heaven before I will ever trust my flesh. And I know there's no flesh in heaven. I got no, you know, as Gary said, don't write me any letters. But according to Ephesians, and we'll look at it more tomorrow, but there are two types of wars. There's the war with the inside, and then there's the war on the outside. The war with the flesh and the war with the devil. And so the Lord has spoken, and the Lord will continue to speak to us tonight as He's wanting to get this message across, because as I said to start with, and if I use the word intel, I'm not trying to be fancy. I'm just saying that we've come to a place where the Holy Spirit wants us to see the warfare around us and understand it, because we're at a place, if you are a revivalist, and I'm talking about somebody that's come through that wall of fire, and again, you're still emerging, you're still coming. What would that entail, Pastor? Well, you know, what you could do 3 years ago that wasn't sin, now, you know, the shows that wasn't sin then, you probably can't watch now. Mine and Candy's, you know, I don't even know why we've got TVs, but we, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, we're about down to black and white. Gunsmoke. I remember this as a kid. Monday nights, I always watch Gunsmoke. Now I'm back to Matt and Festus and Newley and all that, you know. Praise God. Well, you shouldn't even have a TV. Oh, come on, man. Don't go. If you try to go completely off the grid, that's not what He's called us to do. He's called us to be, go get right in there, mix up with the world, and cause a revival. Hallelujah. But there might be shows that you could watch 3 years ago, you can't now. There might be things that you could, you know, say in jest 3 years ago, your heart grips you now. There might have been excuses why not to pray 3 years ago. Now you can't. Now you can only eat the two bowls of chips instead of the four, right? Hallelujah. Was that great? That guy, I love that guy. So there's a war, and there's always a war. We'll clarify through Ephesians more tomorrow with the flesh. And then the victory over the flesh will qualify you for the victory with the devil. Victory inside will qualify you for the victory outside. I'm just reading some statements, and we'll get to a place in a moment. No group. Now, this is our challenge. It's not ill-fated talk. It's just our challenge. It is what it is. So that's why we're here. No group in 2,000 years has won a sustainable victory over both. Not since Pentecost have they won a sustainable. You could go back to the Welch revival, the Hebrides, the Layman revival, the Korean revival, every kind of, you know, revival, Azusa Street, not sustainable. This one is supposed to start, gain ground, gain momentum, gain inertia, keep growing with a bunch of people that have come through the fire and then have the ability to walk and speak and do and act just like Jesus did. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Present tense on the earth presently. God, I'll say this, God will work a lifetime with a person to win the war on the inside war, just for the chance of launching the outside war. When I say the outside war, we're about to get to a place where we're going to push back some principalities. Now there is a shifting, and I'll explain more. There's a shifting from a war with the flesh and you fighting the flesh all the time just to stay afloat, to now, because we are pressing up against the gates of hell, it's like walking up to a big hornet's nest, hitting it with a stick. They're going to come out. we're getting closer to a place where we're recognizable, where we're not working under just a temporary anointing. It's going to be a residential anointing where that we're able to become the fine dressed waiter that meets you, not at McDonald's, but one of those places that you only go to on your anniversary, where you say, whew, it was worth it, but it took. But when he meets you, he's dressed well, and he's ready to serve you. And whatever you need, he's able to give it to you. Present tense, the best. Now, I hope I have some pushback on this. I really do, because then you can come and tell me where this is happening at. Present tense, there are no moves on the face of the earth that are past the first place you come to, which is gifts, a gifts revival. And present tense, the best that any of us are working in, you know, there's the believers. I don't want to rabbit trail too much here, but there's the believers anointing that Pastor Dave used to talk about. It's been discussed already in this meeting. But that believer's anointing, Gary talked about it last night, about going from the less excellent way to the more excellent way. Going into that place that Jim talked about, that Dave saw, the room. But that's not just for a general called Dave Roberson. That's for an army, a Joel's army. That's you and that's me. It's a believer's anointing that comes to the place where we come to people and we're able to administer and say, what do you need? What do you need? It's not because he's just moving in a service and a gift drops on us. But because of that anointing that God is trying to get over into us in the earth, there's also a great spiritual warfare that is taking place. As I said, there's no one presently on the planet working in the believer's anointing, in full believer's anointing. To some degree, yes, maybe. All other potential sustainable revivals have always been stopped. When I named those four or five that I named, they went 3, 4, 5 years, which was great. But that's not what we're after. We're after an end-time revival. In a few moments, I'm going to talk about 8 different spirits that the Lord showed me when he visited me on that day and over those few days that I was in the Spirit. And he began to talk to me and he said, these 8 particular demonic spirits have been released upon the church presently. And he wasn't talking about the church at large. He was talking about you as the revivalist, you that I'm talking to in the camera. And because of the sake of time, I'm not going to share in length all of the verses that I presently shared the day that I shared this, because it was a long message and it was worth it. But for sake of time, I'm not going to go into all of those particular scriptures. But as I said from the beginning, we started out strong. And the reason why we started out strong in this meeting, and I got a text, or I heard from Homer Betancourt Sunday, and he said, he texted Pastor Jim the same thing. He said, well, you know, the house was pretty full. I mean, there was a lot of people, and he said, everybody was listening. He said, you could have heard a pin drop. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody was, you know, totally under conviction that the church needs to be, you know, but I'm telling you, it was strong. It was totally strong. But we're strong enough to receive it. Hallelujah. He said it was wonderful. People received it, and it was just very, very powerful. The Lord gave me this verse when he began to speak these things to me. You don't have to turn here. Let me just mention these things. Joel chapter 2, verse 1, he said, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The Lord wants us to hear his voice in these messages over you know, I'll speak tonight and then in the morning do some follow-up on this same message. But there is a demonic warfare that is taking place in the spirit realm. And if we come to a place where we begin to recognize it, that we don't have fear, but we know how to begin to move past it, then we're setting ourselves in a place where we can get past things that other generations and other churches have fallen to. One of the scripture readings that I had, and I'll just give it to you. You can write it down. You can look it up later. Was in Exodus 17, 8 through 13. And that is, I use that as an example about a intercession. This is the hour of the intercessor. Most important part of the church right now, one of the most important part. Of course, the word is so important. But you, what you do as a leader, as a layman, as a pastor, staying in that place of intercession and birthing this thing and coming to a place where the Holy Spirit can bring this thing into fruition and bring it into fullness is so vital in this hour. It's the hour, it's the day of the intercessor. In this scripture that I just mentioned in Exodus, it's the one where Moses went to the top of the mountain and he had sent Joshua to fight against Amalek. And in that place, Moses went up and Aaron and Hur went up and they held up the hands of Moses as he was praying. And the story is that as he would lift his hands and worship God, that Joshua would win against Amalek. When he would drop his hands, then Amalek would begin to win. And the story is this, the example is this, is that as long as we stay in prayer, there is a warfare taking place that is a winnable warfare. And until this thing is birthed, it's so important to stay in that place of prayer. And then, of course, past that. I gave other examples that I won't go into tonight. I want to get to some of the heart of it in just a moment. But what is so, you know, familiar to so many of you is the scripture in Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel began to seek the Lord. And he sought the Lord with prayer and fasting. And after a period of time, after 21 days, an angel showed up to him and said, I am an angel, I'm paraphrasing again, that was sent from the very first day that you begin to pray. The very first day that you begin to seek the Lord. The very first time that you begin to pray. I was sent from the Lord to answer your petition. But I was held up. There was a warfare in the heavens. And he goes on to explain. And he said, Michael, that stands with you. He came and he relieved me at this of this battle that I was in. Well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. I know it's Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament as well. We find out that when Peter was in jail, that the saints began to pray for him and they began to intercede for him, and God sent an angel and pulled him out of the jail. Listen, everything is birthed. Everything is brought forth. Everything that we're going to win this and bring forth a sustainable revival in this earth is going to be through prayer, prayer, prayer. It's an old message, folks, but it's still the one that we have to attain to. It's still the one that we have to stay in. Say it. Thank you. Thank you. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and following. You don't have to turn there. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Then the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to thy brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nurtured. This is just talking about what the harvest is going to look like, because the glory of the Lord that is coming into our churches. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted to thee. The force of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Dayton, church at large that are watching, we are I know people have problems with this, so I'm not going to say we're about to. I'm just going to say this. We're already in ankle-deep water of revival. We're already in a place where now the Holy Spirit is giving us intel to say, look, you're already making insurgents into a place where people haven't gone for a long time. It's necessary for the enemy to come and try to stop you and fight against you like you've never had fights before. Hitherto, up to this point, and we'll talk more tomorrow about Ephesians, the war on the inside, and how we come to a place where we are qualified to be stopped. But the war of mortification, the place of dying to the flesh, that gives you a place of launching this place of revival. That gives you a place. That gives the Holy Spirit a place in you where revival can be launched. But it comes to a place that what we're seeing now is that the battle has changed. It's not changed completely, entirely, but it has changed. And we better learn how to fight spiritual warfare. Amen? You better learn how to fight. Most of the body is really so naive to spiritual warfare. You know, we live in such a place of presence, of the present tense. When you walk into a building, or when you're at a place, or when you're wherever you're at, you know, I ask my intercessors, I ask them, stay with me in church. I ask my people, I say, look, if I ask you to speak, and sometimes I'll have an elder speak, that elder comes prepared. I spent several hours in prayer today. That's no brag. You would spend several hours in prayer preparing yourself for speaking. What I'm saying is this. When the body of Christ, I'm not saying to the body of Christ always have to be the pastor as far as in preparation. But when the body of Christ at large that goes to any particular location that's seeking a revival seeks to bring themselves into a place where they're so prepared for every service that they go in there like the minister of the day. They go in there with a stalwartness, with a set mindset to say, we're going in here and we're going to receive something from the Lord. We're going to shut down every atmosphere. Sometimes atmospheres come in church services. They come every once in a while. We'll have a visitation. We had one a few weeks ago. The church at large doesn't understand. I said this the other day. I hope I didn't shock too many people. I said, I would kind of welcome some demonic demonstration, some devils to cast out. Because as a kid, I saw that a bunch. People said, we don't have that anymore. Because we've come to a place of intellectual capabilities way beyond, you know, because we've been schooled and we have PhDs now and we've schooled demons out of us. The only reason why we don't see demonic manifestations is there's not enough power in the church services to draw them out. No telling how I said, you know, because I've cast them out. And it doesn't matter how many you've ever cast out, it'll still make the hair on the back of your head kind of, or neck stand up, you know, when you hear all that stuff. You know, it's not for the little children to see and all that stuff, but I'm telling you, the church has lost to some degree an awareness of the spiritual realm. Casting out demons will bring that awareness out. It'll say, ooh, there is another realm. There's a spiritual realm. Hallelujah. So every once in a while we'll have a visitation and I'll feel it. And you know, we don't make much of it. We were 3 or 4 weeks ago. We come home and Candy said, my God, what was in the service? I said, he came. But people don't know. They just think it was a down service. They just think it was a down service. Pastor, you know, Pastor, man, you should have studied a little harder. I don't know what happened to you. Man, we're paying you good money for that. You know, give us something. No. We come in a preparedness. When you walk in, listen, especially these days, you better walk into restaurants and fill it out. You better walk into malls and fill it out. If you're too busy having a good time, have a good time. But I tell you what, Jesus walked in both realms. Jesus could communicate with his disciples, and Jesus knew what the spirit, the atmosphere was around him. And I'm not asking you to get goofy. I see a demon next to you, Pastor. Will you take him home with you? I don't need him. So many wonderful scriptures. I'm looking at the clock. The Lord said to me this, and this is where I want to get to because of time. He said to me, and I went into my office, I began to pray, and the Lord said, there are 8 demonic spirits that have been unleashed against the church, present tense, to stop them, and he's talking about the revivalist church. Now, please, I'm not giving you a list here. I mean, it is a list, but it's not something that I contrived and come up with. I, as he was speaking to me, I would think of something else and I'd start to write it down. No, that's not what I'm telling you. And I'm not telling you these are the only things and these are the only categories. I'm just telling you what he told me. Is that fair enough? So this is what the Lord began to speak to me. And I'm not saying these devils or these spirits, obviously they're not omnipresent. Omnipresent. If they affect the church in any way, or affect you in any way, or have a warfare against you, it's not because that one spirit is a blanketing. There's an entourage. And I'm not saying also that these names can be found in the Bible as these particular devils. That's not what I'm saying. The Lord gave me an understanding of the attack and then helped me label what these particular spirits were. I want to say this before I name these spirits. The fight presently is not birthed, again, I'll reiterate, from the flesh, but it has come to stop us by either distraction or by receding old strongholds. And I'll clarify. By distraction, as if to come and begin to engage you and fight against you in such a way that you believe that you're at fault, that you're part of the actual battle. And if he can do that, then he can underscore or undermine your confidence. Oh, wait, I thought I was purged. I thought I had come through and lost. I thought that had been lopped off in the purging process. Well, it has, and it was. But if he can distract and pull you away and begin to, through multiple times maybe even trying to come, then he can begin to brainwash you or convince you that you are still in a place where you're not really qualified to be a revivalist. You're not really qualified to go to the next level and push back principalities and powers and the things that are holding the spiritual wickedness that are holding back revival. Obviously, and we'll talk more, revival, the onus, the weight of all authority comes on the purging process. It's on that weight of us going in and allowing the Holy Spirit to purge us. But there does come a place where Paul says, finally, there is a group that where he can qualify and say, you can finally do this. You can finally speak to principalities and powers, and we'll clarify that more tomorrow. It's a gross misunderstanding to believe this, to believe that the approach of something, the approach of even some of the things I'll list here tonight, of something old means that it has never been completely transformed. We are, mortification is a dying process. It is to become dead. But the end result, the end game, is to be transformed, to be totally transformed to the Word of God. So there comes a place where you continue to submit to the Lord, and the Lord begins to, first of all, get all the back in the day when you cross the bloodline, and then anything that really tried to stay stubborn and doesn't want to, you know, to leave. Some of the uglies, the real uglies, they begin to be worked out over time, and the Holy Spirit begins to really combat those things that have a destructive mannerism to them. But then as we go further and further and further, the Holy Spirit begins to purge those things that are not necessarily sin, but weights, as Hebrews says, that weights that will easily beset us. Strongholds, you know, 2 Corinthians 10, it says, casting down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. To what? Pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are really thoughts that are not completely transformed to the image of Christ. Strongholds are really something that is, it can be in a process of change. It can be in a process of mortification. But they're really just, they're also oftentimes just one generation away. And I'm saying the word generation as in one progression away from sin. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When a stronghold has conceived, when it's given way to. So it's not good to live with a stronghold. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're committing the sin out of the stronghold, but it's not good to live with them. They need to be purged because they're just maybe just a generation away from actual committing of the sin or the doing thereof. So it's so vitally important that strongholds are cast down and purged from us. But we're hearing a message that the Holy Spirit is entrusting, a baton has been passed over to us, and he's saying you're not perfect, but there's an authority that has been granted to you and those that are watching that's strong enough to say that the enemy has come and he's come with certain particular devils to fight the body of Christ. But I will say this, once strongholds are once a freedom has been obtained, then it must be maintained. It's never one and done. You're never one and done. You're always having to go forward. Of course, Jesus did not have strongholds, and I'll punch you if you say he did. Okay. In love. Thank you, Gary. Praise God. In love. So the pressure that we're talking about that you're going to be facing, and it doesn't mean that you're just mandated by what I'm about to say to face these things. I'm just saying these things are coming on the body of Christ, nor does it mean it's going to have a major effect on you. But the first one the Lord began to say to me, and as I began to sit in my office and pray, and I think six times I said, Lord, I'm listening. I've got these, but are you really saying this? He said, these are the things, these particular devils are being poured out to stop revival. The first one that he said to me was the spirit of infirmity or the spirits of infirmity. Now, infirmities have sicknesses and those kinds of things have always been around, but I understand that. But there is a press. There is a press. Candy and I have gotten used to it. We're not fine with it, but we know when we go to conference, certain things start happening. You know, just a few days before we left, one daughter was hospitalized twice. She's normally pretty healthy, two times in emergency care. Another grandchild became very sick. I mean, seriously, kind of really, really kind of the stuff that's serious. And another grandchild as well. And it was like happening like dominoes around us. I understood what was taking place. I understood by this and by other things that we've learned through the years. But listen, if you've been praying, if you started confessing over your body, I'm talking about not just present tense sicknesses, but I'm talking about things in your bodies. And I'm not saying a devil is inside of you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the warfare to keep that there or to press against it and do anything possible. If you've been confessing over your body and believing over your body in particular parts of your body for the last 3 or 4 years consistently, and it's gotten worse, we're in a warfare. Did you hear me? If it's gotten worse, we are in a warfare. Demonic spirits have come to try to fight the church. Why? Because if we're not healthy, it's going to be hard to get done everything that he wants done. When he brought them out, I'm not saying this is impossible. I'm saying when he brought them out of Egypt, there was not a sickly among them. And we're in a warfare. It is what it is. But we understand that this is what the Lord said. A spirit or spirits of infirmity have come to the revivalist church to fight them tooth and toenail. To try to get, I mean, I was looking around our church the other day and nobody was saying anything about it. There wasn't any alarms sounding, but I was thinking this one's got that and that and that. I know that. I'm standing in faith for this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. And there was all around me and it was like an onslaught of just spiritual darkness fighting. You can say, well, it's just physical. It's just, no. There's a point where you are able to look into the spirit realm, and I begin to see into the spirit realm, and the Lord began to show me that spirits of infirmity have come to fight the church, to hold us back from, and we're not going to be held back. This is not a message to say that we're going to be held back. It's a message to rise up and begin to speak to those things and to say we're not going to be held back. But it's not necessarily the flesh. It's not necessarily the things that govern the flesh, as in the temptations that are warring within. Now we've crossed a line, and the Holy Spirit said the church, the revivalist church, is fighting a warfare on the outside. The Lord said the next spirit that I heard and I began to see in the spirit was a spirit of division. That a spirit of division is going to try to come. It will try to come at times. It will try to fasten itself against your mind at times. And it will do everything it can to bring accusation in any way it possibly can against your brother, your sister in the Lord, against your pastor. Now again, this is not one of those hallelujah, run the aisles and spit balls and it's hallelujah, glory to God, and we're all going to go home rich. But I'm telling you, this is victory. These are words that lead us into victory. These are looking into the insight of what we cannot see in and of ourselves. The Lord said there are spirits of division that are coming to the church, and we have to guard ourselves. This doesn't mean, Pastor Dave said this, and I'll go back to that one note that I said, just because something comes doesn't mean it's part of you. But it wants to, especially if you were a gossiper 10 years ago or 5 years ago, if you ran your beautiful tongue, not just in praying in tongues, but oftentimes you could, sister, could you help me? I want us to pray about sister so-and-so, or pray for brother so-and-so. And it was just a way to be able to share a little bit more intel of what didn't need to be said. You got purged of that. Maybe you've gotten where your mouth is real quiet. You don't say much. But all of a sudden you've got temptations. Those things are not of you. Not if you've been purged. The Lord said this. The third one was this that was coming to the church. And it's already hit in many different ways. And again, I'll remind you that this is not part of us. Not if you've gone through the fire. The Lord said this, the spirit of lust and perversion. Am I talking to a grown-up church? The Lord said a spirit of lust and perversion is going to try to make its rounds again. Dave said this. He said, you can be purged of something, but that doesn't mean that the enemy won't come back around and try to reseed the field. He'll come back and try to reseed it if he possibly can. Within 24 hours after I preached this message, I had two elders, one that doesn't go to our church, but goes to our church, but not actually on the premises, contact me. And they said, boy, it just exposing some things. And they said, the husband of the wife, which is the proper way to do it, and they didn't go into details, and they shouldn't, but they said, and these are two women that I'm telling you, just like my wife is an intercessor, these are intercessors. These are precious intercessors that love God and are always, I just know the character of their life. I know them very well. And not old women, but older women. But both of them, in just in within the 24 hours of the time I was had preached this, or prior to me preaching this, had had encounters. This is why I love it when Satan overplays his hand. When he overplays his hand to demonstrate what God is giving us intel about, then I say, praise God, we're hearing from God. But both of these women were kind of, I'll say it this way, I'll just coin it this way, awakened to immoral dreams that involve themselves, that is a million miles away from who those people are, but they were feeling the emotions of it. They were feeling the attack of it. Listen, when you begin to engage with devils like we're engaging, we're worshiping God and we get the best of the best. But listen, we're also moving into a realm that we've never moved into before. And we're punching back. Gary said this, the Lord said to him years ago, when have you ever seen gates marching? Well, that goes to that scripture, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're the offensive weapon of God. And the Lord said, I mean, I know it's quiet in here tonight, but I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. And I'm just giving it straight to you. He said, spirits of lust and perversion coming against the church. Now, these women recognize, just like you will, if something like that comes against you, that's a devil. That's a devil. That's just a devil. But they want to distract. They might be a million miles away from somebody that's truly purged from ever seeding or reseeding. But I'm telling you, there's a war out there that we're pushing into it. One of my daughters last Sunday morning, she was on her way to church with her husband. She walked in, her and her husband walked into a coffee shop in La Belle, Florida, which is a country boy town. You wouldn't think it. You'd think it's all just a real beautiful place with a bunch of country people. And she walked into the coffee shop and there's an 80-year-old man sitting over there with his laptop open. I heard her, you know, I'm getting ready for church, ready to go over to the church. And she's over there. She's like, Mom, oh my God. I was like, what? And Candy told me later. And I said, what's wrong with Amber? You know, she goes, she's sick. I mean, you know, when you see something that'll make you sick, she saw one of those make you sick. She said she walked in and, she was so flabbergasted by it. She goes, oh my God. And there's this 80-year-old man, I guess he's 80, so way up in age, sitting there with his laptop open, looking at some of the worst child pornography that you can imagine. Folks, it's all around us. Now, Mr. Gavin Newsom would give the guy an award for that, the governor of California. It's legal, basically. Mr. DeSantis in Florida will send him to prison, and I'd be glad he did. I'd be glad he did. You're supposed to love everybody. I'll love him in prison. Love him in prison. But those demonic spirits, we're fighting back. We're saying, Immokalee is in revival. Dayton is in revival. They don't like it. And they're coming and they're saying, okay, we're going to come and see if we can distract you any way possible with any type of, and I'm not talking about it's really part of you, but you're going to have these things come at you in such a ways that you're going to say, my God, what was that just come at us? You better stand up and say, look, I'm a revivalist. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. Or you better stand up and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that comes against me, I'm going to condemn. And my righteousness is of the Lord. If one wakes you up in the middle of the night, you better not be saying, well, I need to call pastor tomorrow. I'm scared. This thing come at me. You better get up and say, I am ready to fight the battle now. Glory be to God. The Lord said to me, and I'm running out of time, but that's okay. I will be respectful. The Lord said, thank you. The Lord said there is a spirit of another gospel that is invading, and it will continue to fight against the ranks of us if it possibly can. And I'm not talking about a Muslim gospel, a Hindu gospel. I'm not talking about even a very close gospel that is in the ranks of Christianity as far as general. I'm talking about one that is just so indigenous to us, very close to us, very close to us. And you better watch. You know, I said the other day, first I'll finish this statement. You better watch who you listen to outside of your pastor, Gary, myself, Barry, L.A., you know, some, I'm talking about the core, the ministers. If you've, first of all, one thing, listen, I'm not condemning anybody that listens to somebody else. I listen to a few other people, Mario, I can't think of his name right now, that other guy that has the 15 minutes in the morning, Duck Sheets, I love Dutch, yeah, he's a great guy, and there will be a few more. But I'll tell you what, by the time I get my prayer time in the morning and my Bible study, I get it done, but I barely got time to listen through the week to Gary and then to Jim and then to, I don't have time for all these other things. And if you're searching, you're going to find after a while that there's another gospel out there. It won't take us where we're going. And it will also be induced by other, by not just listening, but others, but spirits will come and also do everything they can to try to say, well, you know what? Man, Jim's got, I know Jim's a, he's a studied man. He's a real studied man, but he could be off in this area. He really, and it'll get you questioning. It'll get you questioning. And for us to go to where we're going, we have to be one mind, one accord, know what we believe, and not back up from it. The Lord said the, not only, you know, I mentioned division, but now this one is the spirit of diversions. Just diversions. Diversions in every way. Now this could be, you know, you could put so many different subtitles under this. This is Mark 4. All the different diversions. Everything possible that could be fighting against you. But this isn't coming now. I want to reiterate, it's not predominantly coming from a place where you're struggling within. It's coming, even if the struggle feels like it's within, it's coming from a pressing that's coming from without. We've got three more. Can you stay with me for a few more minutes? The sixth one is the spirit of, and as I said, I'm not naming these spirits as this, you find them particularly in the Bible. I'm coining these according to what they're coming with. The spirit of lukewarm, or the spirits of lukewarm. Ephesus, which was a powerful church, one of the seven churches of Asia that John spoke to. Timothy was the senior pastor there for a while. But the thing that the Lord rebuked them for, although they were sound in so many different ways, is that they began to lose their first love. You can't lose your first love. You have to stay in a robust place where you're continually, Candy and I, we do most of, we're home like six nights a week. We don't eat out a lot. We got one date night. I've dated this beautiful lady for 45 years. Don't call us on Thursday. You can call us on Thursday, but you probably won't get in touch with us. So, but it's our date, and I date my wife. You better date Jesus every day. You better court him every day. But in that, that's something you're doing. But there, on this message, there are spirits that are coming to water this down, this message, to cause us to feel like this is just a neutral. Why are we pressing? Why are we fighting? You know, this one's warring in the flesh, and are warring with infirmity. This is the, what result are we seeing? The questioning will bring forth a lukewarmness if we're not careful. Excuses, spirit of excuses. I'm just telling you what the Lord gave me. Spirit of excuses, why not? Why not to stay in prayer? Why not to spend your time in prayer? Why not to go to the place where you do everything the Lord is saying? Why not come to church? Why not this? Why every excuse possible? The last one I'm going to mention is one of the ones that Jamie prophesied concerning tonight. But Dave, when he said this spirit came at him, that the only way that he could coin or define, I think is a better word, the only way that he could define this spirit was that he had to give him an MR, a mister. And he called him Mr. Destruction of Reasonings. He said when this spirit came, it brought forth an atmosphere. It came with a sense of confusion. It came with a sense of fear, disorientation of the atmosphere around you. And if you have a visitation, the word says, thou shalt not be afraid for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the fear that cometh suddenly. If you have visitations in the days ahead where things show up in your life or in a moment and it's pressing against you and the devil says, you've got a stronghold of fear, if this thing hasn't, listen, there's one thing if these dear ladies that had those particular dreams had been, and I'm just using them as example because there's no way possible, if they had been watching things that they should not have been watching, let's put it in a more realistic. A man has a visitation and something comes and it begins to press on his flesh and he's been free from it for 5 years, 10 years, he's gone through the fire. He knows that he's not looking at anything. He knows that he's not thinking about anything. He knows that he's not allowing a thought to go past. I mean, now if something comes in a manner that's unfitting and you allow it to stay and you meditate on it for 30 minutes today and 30 minutes tomorrow or whatever, or you're watching something, look, and then the devil shows up, he's got an investment in you. That's still a stronghold. But when you've gone through the fire, when you've gone through the purging and those things are gone, these things are going to, the enemy's going to try to come back. You stand up and say, no, I don't have to go through a process to say, am I guilty of this? I'm free. I'm going to stand up as a child of God and as a general and say, this is not me. I'm standing in the place of speaking authority over my nation, over my city, over the house of God. Mr. Destruction of Reasonings, a spirit of against your own personal mind might come, but don't give him a minute. Don't give him the interest of being able to say, this is you. This is you. This fear that you're feeling is you. This confusion. Maybe you're getting dementia. Maybe you're getting Alzheimer's. Maybe something's wrong. Listen, begin to speak. Rise up, church. Begin to speak with your mouth and say, I'm not only called as an intercessor to bring forth revival, I'm also called to pull down strongholds that are now on the outside of me. They're no longer on the inside of me. I'm speaking to these things, and because I've gone through the purging process, I'm qualified to speak to these things because they're not any longer on the inside of me. They're on the outside of me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you stand?